Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We're 4 lines from the bottom. We were in a discussion about what exactly is the Yesoda Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chacham with regards to a case where after the person already gives chalitza with his Yivama and he wants to mekadesh her, is it going to be a valid kedushin or not? So now Rava gives an alternative explanation as to what the machlokas is all about. Rava amar, ida amar la b'ma'amar yavamin. If after doing the chalitza, the guy who was the yavam says to this lady, you're going to be married to me with the ma'amar of yavamin, then he says, kuli ama lo pligi d'mehadya. Everyone is going to agree that it's a valid kedushin. So how is the machlokas over here whether or not the kedushin is chal? He doesn't say b'maymar yavamin. Rather, it's talking about a case over here because we do hold of again kedushin will be tosin b'chayav elavin. So here, the reason that the kedushin is not chal is because he's saying that I am going to be married to you with the zika of the yavamin. If the yavam would marry her in this lashon, everyone is going to agree everyone would agree that in the former lashon again, rather that would be effective. But when you say it's kashiv the zika of yavamin is whether or not you say that after chalitza, because again, nachbal. If you said that if the yavam would marry his yavama in the normal manner by saying harias b'kadeshli b'zika of yavamin, everybody agreed that would be a valid maimar. The machlokas is whether that doing this even after chalitza is valid. That's the machlokas according to Rava. Rebbe Savar, turning on to the example, Rebbe Savar, yesh zika. Rebbe holds there is a zika, and that's the reason why you say that you say your yavam, it's effective before the chalitza is performed, because if you hold a yesh zika, then you have this anyway quasi-marital connection between the yavam and the yavama, and that's why it's going to be bezika sivam is going to be valid. However, v'asa chalitza v'af kasei lazika. But once you've done chalitza, you have now removed this whole zika. So therefore, this lashon is no longer effective. V'rabanan savre ein zika. Rabanan, there is no zika, meaning that the zika is not creating a significant bond between the potential yavam and the yavama. And therefore, when you say bezika yavamim, it's not based on the zika that is creating this marriage. And therefore, if you then do chalitza, then it's not going to be so much worse, and therefore it should still be chal. So therefore, ein zika mikara ilo amar laiskatcha le bezikas yavamin. If the person says, he tells her, you're going to be married to me bezikas yavamin, milamani, it does take effect. And again, if you hold of ein zika, so it doesn't mean that they're because of the bond, that's what creates this lashon to be effective, but rather just because that is an effective lashon of being created in the kedushin. So here too, also the chachamim are going to agree that hashtanami mehani. So therefore, the zika, even afterwards, if you've done a chalitza, it's going to be effective lashon. And therefore, according to the rabbanan, when you say there is no zika, there is not such a big deal when you've done the chalitza. You haven't removed that that much has been removed. And therefore, even after you've done the chalitza, this lashon is still going to be effective. Now the gemara states another explanation of the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rav Shavria Amar bechalitza kshira. So in a case where the guards that you do a chalitza, the normal chalitza, in a way that it's done, it's fully kosher, then everybody agrees. If you say you're going to be married to me in zikah, everyone's going to agree, both Rebbe and the Chachamim are going to agree that it is not effective, because he's understanding that there is zika. If you hold of yesh zika, then everyone's going to hold like Rebbe. Again, the previous mandamar over here that we just had, according to Rava, was this idea of the machlokas is about yesh zika or ain zika. Rav Shiva was saying everyone agrees of yesh zika, so therefore everyone would agree that it is ineffective when you have done a chalitza because you've removed the zika band. So here, the machlokas is all about what Rebbe and Achachamim is all about where you have a chalitza psula. A chalitza psula, example Rashi gives is, let's say you've done a get first and then you do chalitza. So it is a lower level chalitza. So Mar Savar Chalitza Psula Poteres, that a Chalitza Psula is going to completely release the Yavama. Umar Savar, Rabbanan are going to hold the Chalitza Psula Eina Poteres, that it doesn't completely release her. And Rebbe holds that when we say over here, the Rebbe holds that there's nothing valid after the Chalitza Psula, even if it is done, it's going to remove the Zika. However, the Rabbanan are going to hold that there is after the Chalitza Psula, after a Chalitza Psula, and therefore they're going to hold that it would not remove her, or not completely remove her, and therefore the kedushin could be chal. Ravashi Amar Dekuli Alma Chalitza Psula Eina Poteres. No, all of tonight, Rebbe and the Rabbanan are going to agree that a Chalitza Psula, a Chalitza which is lacking, is not going to complete the release of the Yavama. But we're not dealing with a Chalitza Psula. Rather, we're dealing with a case where the Yavam had done a Chalitza Lidchachila, but he made a t'nai. Here's a different case. This is a fundamental machlokas in Ksubas, whether we hold that there is a t'nai in chalitza. Really, it's all the yesod about whether or not you have something to create shlichus by. If something, Rav Chaim developed this whole yisod that when I am a full bailim over something, then I milsa b'leisa b'lishlichas b'leisa b'tnai. It's based on the Gemara Ksuba with Kimim Perish. But this idea is that when I have the ability to create a shlichas, that means that I'm full fledged bailim over the of whatever I'm talking about over here. Here, that's and then therefore I can create a tnai. I can create a condition on whether I'm doing it or not. That's why in a condition I can make tnai because I can create a shliach. However, with regards to chalitza, that's a shaila. When it comes to chalitza, there's a machlokas over here. Marsa v'yesh tnai b'chalitza, that I can create a tnai. I have the ability to create a tnai with chalitza. Let's say the chalitza is only b'chal once you give me $200, and then you do the chalitza. So according to one man to Amar, that is a valid tnai. Marsa v'ar, the Rabbanan hold that ain't tnai b'chalitza. You're not allowed to make a tnai. So Rabbi holds that the Yavam doesn't have the authority to do this. So therefore, if you say you're going to give 200 zuz, the chalitza is going to be effective, and the zika is going to be removed. Accordingly, the Yavam is going to be married with the zika of Yavamim, it is going to be ineffective. The Rabbanan hold that no, that you do have the ability to make a tnai, so therefore, if she doesn't give them 200 juz as part of the tnai that he made with her, then the chalitza wouldn't be fully intact yet. And therefore, if he marries her bezikas yivamim, we see that according to Rebbe, it makes sense that according to Rabbanan, it would make sense that you would be holding of a tnai, and therefore you would be allowed to the chalitza would not be chal yet until you do the tnai. And if, since she hasn't done the tnai yet, the kiddushin would also be chal. So now Gemara is going to quote a final interpretation of what the machlok is all about. Ravina Amar de Kuli Alma Yesh Tnai Bechalitza. All the Tanai, meaning Rebbe and Rabbanan, agree that you would be allowed to make a Tanai in Chalitza, which is interesting according to this Mandamar, because it's actually machlokas in Ksubas. But let's say over here, both Rebbe and Rabbanan are going to deal with the case where you're allowed to make a Tanai. But here is a different problem. Here you didn't make what's called a Tanai Kafel. The halacha of a Tanai Kafel Kamiflagi. A Tanai Kafel is you have to double size, literally, you have to double end your Tanai. How do you do that? So let's say, in the example, you have the 200 Zuz. So he says to her, if you give me 200 Zuz, the Chalitza is going to be valid. You have to actually do the other end of it. The Tanai Kafel means you also have to say the other side. And if you don't give me 200 Zuz, it's not going to be valid. That's what's called the Tanai Kafel, because we learn it now, all Tanaim are actually learned from the Tanai Reuven God. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when they said originally we wanna fight, we're gonna fight for Klal Yisrael, but then we're gonna live on the other end of the Yarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a tonight with them that if they fought, then it's going to be okay. And he double ended the tonight. He said that if you go yotzim chalutzim, then it's going to be valid, and if you don't, then it's not. Then you're not allowed to get your land on the Eiver Yarden. So we see that the both Lashonos are mentioned. So that's the machlokas over here. Mar savar ba'ina tnai kafel. The Rebbe is going to hold that you need a tnai kafel. Umar savar, whereas the Rebbe are going to hold lo ba'ina tnai kafel. You don't need a tnai kafel. So according to Rebbe, in order to be effective, you have to say both sides. And if you fail to say both sides of it, it's going to be void and it's going to be nullified, and therefore, according to this, Rebbe's on the understanding that if you don't do it, then it's going to be void, and the chalitza is going to be is going to be chal because you don't have your tnai is not effective. Therefore, when you subsequently say zikas yavamim, the kedusha is going to be ineffective because the zika was already removed by the chalitza. The Rabbanan say that even though you don't make the tnai kafel, it's still going to be valid tnai, and therefore, as long as she does not do the tnai, then it's not going to be bezikas yavamim is therefore going to be effective because she hasn't done the tnai yet, and therefore you'd be allowed to make you're allowed to make this condition, and you'd be allowed to make the condition of kedushas chal because the tnai was in fact valid. Okay, very interesting gemara over here. Chalatz vasa mayim v'nasam get ubal. So now up to the next point of the Mishnah, if the yavam does chalitza first with the yavama, and then afterwards he does mayim with her, or he gave her a get and had bia with her. Or it's important to note, because the Hamshach of the Gemara is going to be asking this question, if he first had bia with her and then he does maimer with her or gave her a get, after the chalitza, the halacha is ein achar chalitza klum. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why doesn't they v'nistin nami ein achar bia klum? Why don't we say after bia klum? As we mentioned, and really the Gemara was assuming that this question is also on the seifa, as Rashi points out. Da bia shaykh lemim rabbi seifa. In the Hamshach of the Mishnah, you could also say that, because we have the case of ba'al v'asa maimer v'nistin get v'chalitz. That should be a case where you should be allowed to say bia as well, that ein achar bia klum. Why don't you say that same halacha? So the Gemara says, really, you should mention it. Really, you don't need to mention ein achar chalitza klum. You should say ein achar bia klum. So that should be the din, that the halacha would be ein achar bia klum, and we would learn out ein achar chalitza klum. So the Gemara says that really, if that's the halacha, it really should be mentioning it's the same halacha. So then, v'tana didan, our Mishnah who doesn't say this, and he says after ein achar chalitza klum, so why doesn't it use that lashon? So the Gemara says because ataras yavama l'shuk adifalei, because it may as well mention a case of where a yavama is allowed to be married. In the case where he's saying chalitza klum, if he does chalitza and then does maimer afterwards with the chalitza, or he does chalitza, right? Then she's allowed to be married to somebody else. That's adif. That's a better case. So therefore, it's a case that the Mishnah would rather mention. And we're not going to mention both because it's redundant. And therefore, we only mention the case of chalitza based on our Mishnah. Now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Echad yavama v'echad shtei yavamas. If whether this halacha is going to apply, whether there's one yavama or two yavamas to this one yavam. So the Gemara points out that Masnisa Deloki Benazai, our Mishnah is not according to Benazai, as we saw a sheet that quoted before. Titania was related according to the Braisa. Benazai Omer Yesh Maimar Acha Maimar Bishnei Yavam V'yam Echad. That there would be validity to a Maimar after a Maimar in the case where you have two Yavamim and one Yavama. If each Yavam does Maimar, she requires a get from the second one. V'ein Maimar Acha Maimar Bishnei Yavamas V'yam Echad. There is no validity to a Maimar after a Maimar in a case where you have two Yavamos and one Yavam. That if the Yavam does it with both Rachel and Leah, the wives of Shimon, he does the Maimer with both of them, our Mishnah, according to Benazai, we would say that you do not need, the second one does not require a get, and she's fully allowed to marry a Kohen. So our Mishnah seems to contradict that halacha because it says that there is Maimer after Maimer, Lechora, even in the case, as we mentioned over here, with two Yavamos. So our Mishnah is in contradiction with the Shita of Benazai. We don't paskin like Benazai. Now the Mishnah says, next part of the Mishnah, Ketzah and Maimar Lazu, and if you, how does the case of two Yavamas or Ma'achad, if you do Maimar with this Yavama and Chalitza with the other Yavama, the first one is going to require a get. So the Gemara says, Lemim Asayei L'Shmuel, L'Chora, this part of the Mishnah is a support for Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Chalach L'Balas Maimar L'Nifta Tzarasa, that if, in a case Shmuel says that if the Yavam does Chalitza with the one who did Maimar, then L'Nifta Tzarasa, the co-wife is not released by that Chalitza, because if Chalitza is on a lower level, Shmuel holds that when two widows are going to be attached to the same Yavam, and the Chalitza of one of them is a lower level Chalitza, you have to do Chalitza with both of them. Now, if the Yavam does a Chalitza with the Balas Maimar, so that she also needs a get, so since this Chalitza is by definition inferior, because it doesn't fully release her, you also need a get, so therefore Shmuel would hold, you need to do a Chalitza with both of them, which is implied by the Mishnah. And the Gemara points out, that would be a kasha on his machlokas, on Bar Plukta over there, was to Rav Yosef, who would be a kasha, a reputation of Rav Yosef, who holds that when there are two widows and one of them has done one of them is possible from kahuna, you should do the chalitza with one and not the other, and even if it's a vision chalitza, that should be the case. So this should be a kasha over there with the shita of Rav Yosef. This lechora is a kasha on Rav Yosef, and that is the question over here, how the chalitza of here would not be shaykh to the one over here with Rav Yosef that say that you would be pater from chalitza in that case. You should only do it with the first one. So the Gemara points out, this isn't a kasha Rav Yosef. Mikatani chalitz. Does the Mishnah really tell us that he does chalitza with the second Yavam? It just says chalitz katani. It says that he done it with the second one, then it's going to be valid. That is going to be diavet. That's only after the fact. Meaning, in Echanami, you shouldn't do it with the second one according to Rav Yosef. Really, you should do it only the first one. So it's not a kasha Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara quotes to the next part of the Mishnah. Get lezu, v'get lezu. If you give a get to this Yavama and a get to that Yavama, they both require chalitza from him. The Gemara says, "Leva Mesayel LaRabba Baravuna, Dama Rabba Baravuna, Chalitza Psula Tzricha LaChazra Kol Achid." In a case where you have a chalitza which is problematic, chalitza, it's lacking chalitza, you have to go to all the brothers of the relative and do chalitza with all of them separately because of the fact that you haven't done a full-fledged chalitza, and it's not going to remove you from the other brothers, only from the one that you were, and you'd have to do chalitza with all of them. So lechora, this is a raya because the Mishnah says that they require chalitza. That they require chalitza in the plural. That trichos that they both require chalitza. And where says my trichos? No, what does it mean by they require? Trichos to alma that one of them require chalitza in this situation. It doesn't mean that you have to do, that both the Yavamas require chalitza, and it wouldn't be a raya necessarily. It's not a kasha, but it's not a raya for Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Next point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, get lazu v'chalat lazu. If the Yavama had done chalitza with this one and the Yavama that one. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah talks about the Yavam as doing chalitza, the second Yavama rather than the first. The Gemara asks, Lema Misayel Shmuel Tativ Rav Yosef. This seemingly is also a raya for Shmuel and a kasha under Yosef. The chalitza that could be performed by the one who was getting the get is considered a lacking chalitza, and the tzar over here, lechora, would also require also chalitza. So this is a raya for Shmuel that a lacking chalitza would require, both of them require chalitza, and a kasha under Yosef who says that only one of them require chalitza and you should only do it with the first. So Gemara says, again, similar answer. Miktani chalitz. It doesn't say you should do chalitza with both, with the second one. Rather, chalitz ketani diavid. Again, similar rejection of the raya, that really it was only saying it by diavid and not lechachila, that you do not have to do it with the second one. Chalitz, v'chalitz, v'chalitz, o chalitz, and then you did the chalitza with one yavama, and then you did maimer with the other yavama, or you give her a get, or you had bia with the second yavama. In that case, the halacha is inachar chalitza klum. So the Gemara asks the same exact shalach of atari that we already had above. V'litnei nami inachar bia klum. Why don't we say that there's nothing after bia? The same exact kasha we had before. So the Gemara answers the same exact answer. Arbari barava damar tavayu tane inachar bia klum. You should teach the halacha that there is no validity to anything after the bia. V'tana didan. So our Tana who teaches that there is no validity to anything after chalitza. So why does he mention that? It's better to discuss a case where the avava is not going to be mutter as opposed to the case of the bia where it would not be mutter because he's now fully married to her and he would be his yavam. Bein yavam echad shtei yavamas. This mission said that this halacha is going to apply to one yavam and two yavamas or two yavamim v'yavama achas. That's what the mission says. So now the Gemara asks, L'chora, this case is going to be a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Bishlam and Rabbi Yochanan, De'amar, he holds in the first parak that we saw, and Daf Yudim Abiz, he holds that after Chalitza is done by one Yavam and one Yavama, Kula Besa B'lav Kai, that everybody is going to be a lacha of a lav, a regular lav in the Torah, but not in Isser Kares, because Asher Bana V'lo Yivne is a lav, and he holds that it's only going to be a regular lav. So then, according to him, so then the chiddush of the Mishnah kula bia b'lav kai. So the entire everybody's going to be in a negative, in Isser D'oraisa, and therefore it's going to be itzrich lashmuna the in kedushin tozim b'chay lav. And the fact that you do kedushin after you've done the chalitza, anybody else does it, the Tana is teaching us a chiddush in kedushin tozim b'chay lav, which would be according to the shita of Rabbi Kiva, so that's a big chiddush in the Mishnah, and that makes sense what the Mishnah would be teaching in this chiddush. El Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, to Amar Kula Bevesa Mekaris Kai, that everybody, after I've done Chalitza, everybody, all the brothers are going to be subject to the lachas of an Isser Kares, so this Mishnah is going to be problematic. Itzrich Lashmunin, the Kedushin Tozim B'chayav Krisis. Why would the Mishnah teacher tell me that the Kedushin are not going to be Chal when there's a punishment of Kares? Everybody agrees. Came out, everybody. That's why I was like a little bit of a catch. There's one sheet that says that only Kedushin Chayav Misa based it. So why would that not be a Kedush to Alafuki? That sheet, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say that, but the Gemara asks, why is this Akasha on Rish Lakish? Because over here again, the Chiddush is Ein Kiddushin Tozim B'Chayav Krisus, and therefore that's not a Chiddush. Everybody knows that the Kiddushin aren't Tovim B'Chayav Krisus because that creates Mamzerus. Anything that creates Mamzerus is not going to be the Kiddushin is not going to be Chal. So therefore, why does the Mishnah teach you this point when it's not the Mayimar is ineffective if it's not teaching you any Chiddush whatsoever? So the Gemara says Amar Lachar Rish Lakish L'Tamayach. But according to your reasoning, is the Mishnah any better? Save it. The end of the Mishnah, which teaches us Baal V'Asa Mayimar, if one Yavam has Bia with the Yavama and the other one then does Mayimar with her, there's nothing after the first bia. Itzrich lashmunin the ein kedushin tozim be'ishes ish. The Tana has to teach a chiddush that kedushin isn't taking effect with a married woman. This person is fully married at this point. Ella, rather, you have to assume I did the Tana hataras yavam echad v'yavama achas. That since the Tana taught the halacha with the release of one yavam to the other yavama, Tana namish te yavamas v'yavam achas. So he teaches us also the release of two Yavamas and one Yavam. Meaning that regarding the case of one Yavam and one Yavama, the Tana needed to teach us the Chiddush that Maimars are going to be ineffective after Chalitza. For even according to Rish Lakish, that is going to be by a non-Kares of Elo Yivne, since they're the ones that actually perform Chalitza. That case, according to Rish Lakish, would be a Chiddush that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Then, once I already mentioned that case, then I'm going to mention the other case of since the last of Mach Amaymar of their Chalitza, he's going to repeat it with regards to two Yavamas, even though in a Chanami that would be an Isser Karis in that example. The Tana Shtei Yavamas V'Yam Achad, and since we already mentioned the case of two Yavamas and one Yavam, Tana Shtei Yavam and V'Yam Achas, he also teaches us the case of two Yavam and one Yavama, stylistically to leave it as a point. And in a Chanami, it is no extra Chiddush. The fact that Tana mentioned it is just the point to mention all the cases, even though some are going to be unnecessary. There's no necessarily Chiddush there, but still we're going to mention it. Now the Mishnah, next point of the Mishnah. Chalat v'asa maimer v'nasan get, and he gave her a get, or he had bia with her. So then we say there's enach ha'chalitza chlu. So Gemara says, bishlam ha'chalat v'asa maimer. Now I understand that in the case where the Yavam had done chalitza and then done maimer, it's right, the Mishnah is necessary. Sakalei t'chamina nigzer maimer l'basra chalitza. I would say that we should make the case of maimer done after chalitza as effective, atu maimer t'kame chalitza, because we get it confused with the case of maimer done before chalitza. When maimer is done before chalitza, it's going to be chal to the point that you would need a get in addition to chalitza. So therefore, I would have thought that the Yavama requires a get even according to Rabbi Akiva, because if we allow her to go without a get, people might get confused with this case, which even Rabbi Akiva would agree, it requires a get. So Kamash Blandalokas, and so therefore the Tana is teaching a Chiddush that we don't have this gzera, and therefore you would be allowed to, even though you did Maimar after the Chalitza, it means nothing, and you would be allowed to be released without any get given. Ela Chalitz v'nasan get, but in the case where the Yavam does Chalitza, and then he gave a get, so in that case, Chalitz v'nasan get, then Lamali, why do I need to teach you? There's no Chiddush. And seemingly, if there's only one Yavama, what can the get do after Chalitza? There's nothing there, and therefore, what would be the Gzera? What would be the Mishnah mentioning that case? What's no Chiddush whatsoever. So Gemara says, L'tamayach, but according to your reasoning, Ema Seifa, the Mishnah also has the next case, which is Baal V'asa Maimer. If the Yavam has Bia with her, and then does Maimer with her, Baal V'nasa Get, and then he has Bia with her and gives her a Get, there's nothing after the Bia. Bishlama Balvanas and get. Now I understand. In case you have bia, then you give a get. Itzrich sagadet chamin and nixar get the baser beila unto get the kame beila. That would have thought maybe I had a concern of giving a get before the bia that you should give a that in that case we give a get. The rabbanan made a gzera that even after the Yavam comes the Yavam's wife through bia her release through chalitza in addition to get to make sure people don't get confused that Yavam could go with the get alone and not with chalitza. So I would have assumed maybe you'd make that gzera. So kamash lundal look as we know the Tana teaches a chiddush that we don't make this halacha this decree over here. Of a baal v'asa maimar, but in a case where the yavam has bia with her and then does maimar, so what's the chiddush there? Also, similar thing. It seems to be extra. Also, lamali, there's no chiddush whatsoever. That obviously the maimar is meaningless, and so it's adding nothing to the fact that he already had bia with her, which is a full fledged kinyan of the yavam to the yavama. Ella, rather, we have to assume that this case over here is Aydid the Tana Chalitz Vasa Maimar. So since the Tana is teaching us a case with regards to the Yavam performing Chalitza and then Maimar, Tana Nami Baal Vasa Maimar. So then he also has to teach us the case of having a Bia and then doing Maimar afterwards, even though it's unnecessary to teach it. And so therefore, since the Tana already mentioned the case of the Yavam having Bia and then giving her get, again, the Chiddush over there was that we don't have a Gzera. So therefore, it's here also Nami Tana Nami Chalitz Vasa Get, which again has no Chiddush to it. But since we need to mention the first case in both these examples, then we mention them to teach you that they have the chiddush. The second one is just agav, even unnecessarily mentioned, because once we're mentioning this topic, we'll mention another halacha that doesn't necessarily have any additional chiddush. Okay, good. Then we say bizman shehi, when it's doing it at the beginning, there's nothing after it, and then in the middle, that's going to be the shaila after. Rabbi Chaimel is going to say whether both regards to bia and chalitza, whether regard beginning and the middle, the end, there is nothing after the chalitzas. The Gemara says, "Mas nisin delo ki aitaina." Our Mishnah does not hold like the following Tana. The Tana is Tana Brisa. Abba Yosi ben Yishalayim Omer Meshum Rabbi Meir. Abba Yosi ben Yochanan Yishalayim, live in Yishalayim apparently. So he says the name of Rabbi Meir. Achas bi'ila av, achas chalitza. Both regards to having bia and chalitza. The halacha is, but chila, when they're done in the beginning, en achrei klum. There's no validity to anything after. Be'emta uvasoh. In the middle or at the end, yesh achrei klum. There is validity to something performed after it. Vishlosh machlokos b'davar. There's three different conflicting opinions regarding this, the machlokos over here. The Tana Kama of the Mishnah holds that there is no validity to anything done after a chalitza psula. And then, meaning, or chalitza needs to be done by something else, but there is something that's performed after a bia psula. Rabbi Chaim is going to hold that there is nothing valid to anything done after a chalitza psula or a bia psula. And Abbi Yosef Echanan will hold that there is going to be validity to something done after either a chalitza psula or a bia psula. So that's the three machlokes. So Tanakama Sabar, so Tanakama of the Mishnah, who differentiates between the cases over here, he's going to hold bia to ikal mikzar. In regards to a bia, it makes sense to make a decree that something performed afterwards should have some sort of validity to it, because the Gemara already explained on Nunam Abayis that after a get was fully effective, people might come to have bia after chalitza, which would be nesu d'oraisa, so therefore it makes sense to make a gzera. So therefore we make a gzera in that case. Gazrinan, chalitza delikla mikzar, or the case to chalitza where there is no reason to make a specific decree for that case, because again, that's something performed afterwards should have any validity to it, so therefore, everybody knows it's an Israel, lo gazrinan, so therefore, there is no reason to make this decree, and nothing is going to be taken effect afterwards, even a chalitza psula is fully effective and does not leave room for anything to take effect afterwards, at least on the Raisa. For Mechemasav, Mechemah holds, bia nami leikla mikzar. With regards to bia, also, there's no reason to make a decree to be fully effective. It's karmas, and you say, ligzar bia achar get, as you said, mishim bia achar chalitza. That would be the whole reason to make the decree that if you're having bia after, there should be fully effective because of the case of a bia which is after the chalitza. So you respond, came into chalitza deraisa. No, chalitza, everybody knows it's a din deraisa. And therefore, everybody knows that having bia with her afterwards would be itzer deraisa, itzer kari, so we saw according to Rish Lakish, itzer alav according to Yochanan. Made the other, everyone's going to know that chalitza is more effective than a get. But the ka'amas, and that which you say, ligzer bia achar maimar, that you should make the case of having bia after maimar not be a fully effective, mashum bia achar bia, because of having, you can have Reuven dies when he has children. So Shimon's gonna have bia with Rachel, and then Yisachar is also gonna have bia with a different sister. So that would be, we make a gzera for that case. Kevin the bia deraisa? No, everybody knows that bia is kona level deraisa. So when Shimon performs bia with the wife of Reuven, everybody knows that it's only for her, and nobody else is gonna come to make with any of the other tsaras, and with her for sure, and nobody's going to have relations where no one's gonna get confused. That was the shita of Rabbi Nechemia. The Abbi Yosef ben Chana, he holds several like Rabbanan, the Gazer Bibia. He holds like Rabbanan to make the gzera with regards to bia that we're afraid that it's not fully effective because of the case of you'll come to do it accidentally by chalitza, and he also holds because of chalitza mishum bia, and he holds that the case of deficient chalitza is not fully effective also because of the case of concern of deficient bia, and even though, as he explained, there's no real concern with regards to chalitza itself because everybody knows chalitza is deraisa, and everybody knows not to have bia afterwards, but still we're afraid of the case of bia, so then we make exira on both examples to strengthen the case with regards to having bia, deficient bia. With that, we finish the parak. And now we're up to the next parak. The Mishnah is talking about how you do yibum. Habayil vimto. Someone has bia with his yavama. Bein b'shogeg. Bein b'mezid. So even if, as Rashi explains, what shogeg mezid, like you think that if you're having bia with your own wife, and they were twin sisters, and this was the yavama, and you have bia with her, so that's kona. Or he realizes the woman was yavama, but he doesn't want it. He wants to have bia for promiscuity. Nothing else. Bein b'mezid. Or bein ba'onis, bein ratzon, or either he was forced, the Gemara is going to discuss what's this case of being forced, or ratzon, or willingly doing it, and obviously the yavam doing it, that's clearly the shei mitzvah, but meaning it means he was willingly doing it to just finish the lashon. That's what Tosa pointed out. If you're doing it willingly, that's the mitzvah. So that, just to finish the lashon of the Gemara. Or afilo ishogek b'mizit, or if he was mistaken, and she was having bias nos, she just was having relations with him. Who made the vishag? Or he was having just bias nos, and she was mistaken. She didn't realize who it was. Who anos vehilonos? Or he was being forced, and she wasn't being forced. He anos who vilonos? Or she was being forced. He wasn't forced. Echad amara. Or it doesn't matter. Even if you just have the beginning stages of relations, the Gemara doesn't discuss what is mara. Discuss if echad agomer or completing the act of bia. The Gemara doesn't discuss the difference between tchilas bia and sof bia. Kana and all these examples you acquire. Yavama as his wife, v'lo chilek bin bia l'bia, and the Torah does not distinguish between the case of bia or one. Some explain it means ara or pashas. The way that the Rashi understands it is bia shelo kedarka, the bia from the other side. That's also going to be kona by the yavama. V'cheina ba'al kol ha'kalas meras ha'torah. So too, someone has relations with any of the arise in the Torah. Oh, psulas, or those who are disqualified for marriage, let's say, as we're going to mention. Kegon, almana la kohen gadol. Example, a widow who's forbidden to a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza la kohen hedios, or grusha v'chalutza who has bia with the kohen hedios. In all those examples, she's going to be pasul from having, when she has, the moment she has relations. If she's, let's say, a daughter of a kohen, she is going to be usher, even if it was accidental or forced, she's going to be pasul from truma, and she's going to be usher to marry a kohen. So let's say if she has bia, let's say a grusha, obviously, but let's say even an almana, she's going to then be puzzled. She has bia with a kohen gadol. She's also going to be puzzled for marrying even a kohen hedjot. Grusha chotzer mamzeres nesiyah Yisrael. A mamzeres nesiyah was asked to marry a regular Jew. So if obaz Yisrael the mamzer nesan, or a female Jew who is forbidden to mamzer nesan, if she has bia with any of them, puzzled. Any of those cases, if you have bia la puzzled, the gemara's going to learn out that we have that's puzzled in a kahuna. Obaz Yisrael the mamzer agav, it's a problem for person who is a Baal Tshuva, if they were in college or whatever, and they had Bia with a Goy, that's Bia la Pasala, she's asked to marry a Kohen. Bas Yisrael, the Mamzer, a female Jew, again, Mamzer, Pasala, disqualifies her for the Kedua, we mentioned that. Below Chilek, Ben Bia la Bia, the Torah doesn't make a distinction between Bia la Bia, again, over here, also similar to Shaila, that becomes disqualified from Kuna, even where it was only a Ha'ara, or, as you could say, Bia Shal Kedarka is going to be fully Chal over here. So the Gemara says, my Afilu, what does it mean, Afilu? Even implies that the Mishnah is talking about even a bigger Chiddush. The Mishnah already taught us that if you have onas ratzon, that all these cases are affecting yibum. So what's this afilu? So Gemara says, lomi bayi kamari, right. It's not necessarily a bigger chiddush. Rather, the Mishnah is telling you that you don't even need to mention it. Lomi bayi shogeg v'yikamah on the mitzvah. That not even to mention the case where the yibum is going to be valid, even if he is mistaken and she wants to fulfill the mitzvah. Inami hu meizu v'yikamah on the mitzvah. Or he just wants to have bias nus and she intends to fulfill the mitzvah. In both those examples, afilu shogeg v'yimizida. Rather, in the Mishnah is telling you that even where he is mistaken and she has in mind first nus, the tavayla going on the shemitzvah. So he doesn't know who she is, and she's having mind the shem bias nus. Even in that case, in that case, it's going to require as a wife. This is going to be a valid yibum. So now the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya taught us in a brisa. Afilu shneim shogim. Even if both are mistaken, shneim mezidim, shneim anusim. Both all these examples is going to be a valid yibum. Our Mishnah doesn't agree with that. That'd be an addition to the Mishnah. Obviously, our Mishnah would agree with that halacha as well. Honest to Masisa Echidami. Now the Gemara points out, what does it mean that you are forced to have the relations affair? For whatever reason, the goyim came with guns and they say, put a gun to your head, and they forced you to have bia with her. Rava says that really there is no legal claim of being forced when it comes to having relations. Lafisha ain't kisha iladas, because a person who's able to have bia, then he has to make himself cause himself to be erect. To have an erection is done only willingly, so therefore that cannot be called onus. So this is a fascinating chiddush of Rava, that according to Rava, we know that a person has obligated to, if a person puts a gun to your head. So famously, right, in Chadr Chadarim, in your own house. So unless it's the big three, Gilarai, Shulchazam, and Mavodah Zara, you do not have to be, give up your life. However, according to Rava, though, that would only have been a case where it's mamish onus. Here, you can't claim that it's fully onus because performing this act, by definition, if a person was able to make themselves become get an erection, that was something which was done willingly, and therefore that's not going to be called, you can't tell us that that's called onus. That's the Rava's chiddush. Other Rishonim said, what do you mean? Even if you're doing it in a licit point, the fact that they're putting you, putting a gun to your head, we're talking about, let's say, via with the person's sister or whatever it is, an iser lav, not an ishish, but an iser, it's not gila rayos. So that case, according to these Rishonim, and they put a gun to your head, even if you're doing it, that's forcibly against your will, that's still called a onus. So they say that mili means something else, but they're not really fully forcing you. And you're doing it anyway, that's the case of not being really fully forced. But anyway, that's what the Rava says, in kishrei ladas. El Abiyashas, so the Gemara is suggesting maybe they were talking about a case of here where you were sleeping. Where you were sleeping over here, and then therefore you became erect while you were sleeping, you didn't realize it, and she has bia with you, that's going to be Kona. Okay, Beth Shem will pick up the Amar Yehuda Kasha on that. I don't have a chance to record it, but Beth Shem, that'll be tomorrow's daf. And then, and we'll see. Maybe I'll try to record before Shabbos. If not, we'll pick up with the recordings on daf. Nun Hei, Be'ezras Hashem.